first saw the light, and the burning of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide, and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Keep singing that song till we get it. I love that song. When we get it, we'll buy a bus and go on the road or something, you know. Let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of John in chapter 11. Gospel of John in chapter 11. I think this is the third message in a series out of John. Out of John chapter 11, actually. And so as we look at this, my first message was that this is not about Lazarus. And sometimes when we go through trials that are, yea, even trials unto death, they're not about us. It's always about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we again want to keep that in mind, and that's emphasized in this chapter here, that Jesus even wouldn't go to Lazarus' death or sickbed because he had a plan. Boy, again, if we'd understand that God has a plan, sometimes we can't understand it, we can't see it, and other disciples did, Mary and Martha didn't, but Jesus has a plan for our lives, and sometimes it don't work out like what we want, but it works out according to His will, and that's why He instructed us to pray according to His will. He's got a plan, He's got a purpose in what saints go through. And yea, even with some of our neighbors and loved ones, the calamities that they get brought into in life has a purpose, that God's name would be glorified. And so we saw that emphasis here on our first message. Second message was based out of His discussion with the disciples here, where He said, you got to work while it's daytime. And so we covered the fact that work for the night is coming last week. Today, I want to go ahead and pick up the major keynote address out of John chapter 11. So let's stand for the reading of God's Word and look again at some of the chapter here. We've read it a couple times already in our review. And so let's go ahead and pick it up where Martha comes to meet Jesus down in verse 18. John chapter 11 and verse 18, you follow along in your Bible as I would read. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, and Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Look at verse 25. The Bible says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Father, praise you for your word. I thank you again that we can look at this story and still, in 4 weeks of examination, still not cover the richness and depth of this accounting. And as we look at it again today, I pray again that we'd fall in love with your Son anew and afresh, for he is indeed the resurrection and the life. We praise you, we exalt you, we worship you. We praise your Son, we exalt your Son, we worship your Son as our God. And as we do that, I pray that you'd smile on each heart here. In the name of Christ, we pray it. Amen, amen. You may be seated as we look again at this familiar portion of Scripture. I'm always a little nervous about familiar portions of Scripture because sometimes in my life they become so familiar that I miss what they're saying, okay? Sometimes we quote some Scripture so well that we have stopped thinking about what is actually being said in that portion of Scripture. And I don't want that to be true here for the resurrection of Lazarus, that we want to absorb every detail we can out of this accounting. And here is kind of the crescendo. Some people think, well, the crescendo is after the stone is rolled away and Jesus cries out. But no, the real announcement that's important is made right here in this verse. I am the resurrection and the life. And so we want to look at that for just a little bit and see if we can't focus on that. And as we would do that, I would first just think about what he said. I am the resurrection and the life. He is two things there, the resurrection and the life. He's going to resurrect Lazarus here in a moment, but Lazarus will die again. And when Jesus was rose from the tomb, his resurrection is the first fruits of my resurrection. His resurrection is a picture of our resurrection that's coming. When you go to a graveyard, you're not in a graveyard. You're not walking again on graves. You're walking on resurrection ground. For whether they're saved or lost, there's going to be a resurrection of all. And the Bible says again, blessed is the man that taketh part in the first resurrection. There's a second resurrection coming where death and hell receive those resurrected. But blessed is the man that taketh part in the first resurrection. Because Jesus is the resurrection and Jesus is the life. That resurrection should make us just flat excited that we have one coming. I buried my mom. I buried my dad. And in doing that, again, it's a sad time. Here we see again the sadness of this occasion because of the death of Lazarus. Death is separation. It is sadness. And as we go through that, as we even are touched by that, by loved ones, by in this life, boy, again, understand that there is great sadness. But for a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's still resurrection ground that we're planted in. There is still a resurrection coming, And we will see that loved one again. I will see my mom again. I will see my dad again because of their testimony of their love for the Lord Jesus Christ. What shall a man gain if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Jesus here, when he announced that I am the resurrection and the life, I want to see the emphasis of believing that. And notice that Martha, in this case, and even the disciples previous, they didn't understand what was going on here. They didn't comprehend. Even Martha, who said, I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. She said that, but you can tell she didn't believe that, did she? She said that, but she didn't realize that God was big enough to resurrect Lazarus from the dead. And so even though she said, hey, whatever you ask, God will do it, she knew that, but yet God in her small finite mind was not big enough to pull off a resurrection of Lazarus, let alone a resurrection of all. And so here, when Jesus makes this announcement, I like the last phrase that he adds on here, for Martha's sake, yea, for my sake, he adds on this, believest thou this? If you believe that, you walk differently, you act differently, you talk differently. When you believe that again, and it gets a hold of your heart with a belief, boy, again, understand that it makes us different. It makes us, again, rejoice on the first day of the week when we gather together because this is a resurrection day. And we worship him because of this resurrection day. I recently heard the Pope carry on about Sunday being the Christian Sabbath. It is not, okay? And he's wrong on that regard. And I know they thought to change times and seasons, but they couldn't. This is not the Sabbath day. This is not a Christian day of rest. This is a Christian day of worship because it is Resurrection Day. And here's Jesus who said, I am the resurrection and the life. I want to look at this in another aspect as well. Certainly we understand that he quickeneth us and giveth us everlasting life. That word quicken, I like that. If you go through John, just look up the word quicken. If you go through the Psalms and look up quicken, that'll set your soul on fire. And if you go through John and look what Jesus said about being quickened again, boy, it'll set your life on fire. And so again, we have been quickened so that we will not taste of death. We have everlasting life. And again, as Job said, though my body the worms may consume, I know that with these eyes I shall behold my Redeemer. And boy, again, understand the joy of having everlasting life, even though we may visit at a cemetery, even though we may gather again at a funeral, understand that we still have everlasting life. And that means that we'll never die. On a spiritual plane, we'll never die. A physical plane, we may. But again, in this verse, there's still an opening that we might never even die physically. Because when he returns, those that are alive are going to be caught up to meet him in the air. What a tremendous, tremendous truth. I am the resurrection and the life. But I would like to just spend the rest of my time here looking at this important fact that there are seven I am likenesses in the Gospel of John. And I probably don't have time to do each one of them justice, but let's look at all seven of them. I am the resurrection and the life. And before we do that, I want to go ahead back to the Old Testament and give you a little Hebrew lesson here again. I don't want to dig too deep, but I do want us to recognize this. Remember when Moses was arguing about God, or arguing with God about going back to Egypt and bringing Israel out of Egypt? And he said, who am I supposed to say sent me? And I think God's temper was rising just a little bit. when he gave them this verse. Open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. Let's look at it right out of our Bible. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. I hope it's underlined or marked somehow in your Bible. Exodus 3, 14. And don't miss this again. And the importance of this. Exodus in chapter 3, verse 14 says, "And God said to Moses, I am that I am." Is that all capitalized in your Bible?
Amen.
"And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am." Is that capitalized in your Bible?
Amen.
It's not a coincidence. It's not a mistake. That's not something the King James translators did on their own. That's something, again, that's carefully guarded, even in the Hebrew tongue. "I am hath sent me unto you." That word in Hebrew, "I am," is a little play on the name of God. God's personal name that's never pronounced, as we mentioned here before, by the Hebrew. Even as they were writing, even as they're worshiping, the only time they'll pronounce God's name is when they are in prayer talking to God. Other than that, they will not use His name. They will not pronounce His name. So we have been confused again by the pronunciation of the name, but it has been probably most accurately given in the old English again as Jehovah. Jehovah God. And so as we consider that as the personal name of God, in English, Jehovah does not rhyme with I am. But in Hebrew, it is a poetic mirror of the name Jehovah. And so let me just give you the pronunciation of that. I know I got that written around, down here someplace. In English, it would sound like this, okay? In Hebrew, the name is spelled A-H-Y-H, I am. A-H-Y-H. Good luck pronouncing that. While Jehovah is Y-H-O-H. So the one is I am, A-H-Y-H, and the other, again, is a Y-H-O-H, and we call the one Jehovah. We call the other, again, I am. But again, in the Hebrew tongue, they sound so much alike. They don't rhyme, they're just constructed in the same way. And when you say them, there's a reference. Whenever you say I am, there's a reference and a guard again that, oh, is that the holiest name of God, Jehovah? Boy, I want you to just picture every time Jesus said, I am. I want you to picture the Pharisees. I want you to see the scribes. I want you to see the lawyers of his day and the wince that they had every time he said, I am the bread of life. Every time he said, I am the light of the world. Every time he said, I am the door of the sheep. When he said, I am the good shepherd. Here in John 11:25, when he said, I am the resurrection and the life, he was making himself God. He was grabbing the title of God. That phrase is used 196 times in your Bible. I am the resurrection and the life, he said here. I said there were seven of them in John, the seven likenesses that he said, I am like, or I am the. And here he also topped this one off with the one that you're all familiar with in John 14. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And then for believers, and believers only, he caps off this tremendous dissertation on the I Ams with this, I am the true vine. Seven of them. I am the bread. I am the bread of life. I am the light, light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life that we're looking at here today. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And lastly, number 7, I am the true vine. Ye are the branches. The 7 I ams of John is kind of a culmination, a perfection, a complete picture in the number of 7 of them given. Is the completeness of the revelation of who the I am is. And the I am, again, is referenced, as I said, over 196 times in your Bible. Its references to God, again, is certainly given 196 times in your Bible. And I want to look at some of them here as we have time today, just to put an emphasis on the fact that Jesus, who we worship, He is our God. And we worship Him as our God. That makes us different than the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. I'm sorry again. I know I make my people mad when I say that. And some people come to my mind right now who just would get mad as anything if I said the Mormon Tabernacle Choir worships a false God. But they do, because we worship the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our God. We pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, whatsoever ye ask in my name, I will do it. Sounds almost like what Martha said, doesn't it? For him. And now Jesus has given that and passed it on to you and I. Whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. He is our God. He is our I am. If you wait till next week, you'll probably get most of these references in a penny pulpit. But Genesis 15 says this. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. It's interesting that God did not give his formal name until he meets up with a guy named Abraham. And then as you watch Abraham's relationship with God, you watch the compound names that God gives for himself. And Abraham learns a lot about God by his name. You and I could too, by the way. Just watching the names of God. And so here in Genesis 15, he says to Abraham, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees. In chapter 17, when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared unto him and said, I am the Almighty God. Genesis chapter 26, the Lord appeared unto him in the night and said, I am the God of Abraham. Fear not, for I am with thee. Genesis 28, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Praise the Lord, that's still true today, by the way. I'd throw that in free. While Israel, again, is making war in the Gaza Strip. Genesis chapter 31 says, I am the God of Bethel. Remember Bethel? Bethel's a tremendous picture, again. In your Bible, of coming into the presence of God. Jacob saw a ladder there and said, hey, God lives here. This is God's house again. And he said, I am the God of Bethel. And so those Genesis accounts of the I ams pale to what's found in Exodus. And boy, I'm not going to go down through and read all of them. But let me get the first couple in again. Moreover, he said again, I am the God of Abraham. This is chapter 3. He's talking to Moses. I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And he got that I am in there, which is a poetic picture of his personal name. And then what we read in chapter 3 in verse 14. And I got to read Exodus chapter 6. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Verse 7. I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord. Again, in chapter 6, over and over again. The Bible again goes on through Exodus and gives 24 references to I am the Lord God. 45 times in Leviticus. 7 times I am the in Numbers and Deuteronomy. 77 times in the whole Pentateuch, the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, the first 5 books, Deuteronomy, the first 5 books. 77 times it refers to the I am of our Bible. In the history books, it's 8 times. In the poetry books, it's only 2 times. Let's look at both of them, I think. Psalms chapter 81. We read through the Psalms. I read through the Psalms 4 times. And I think Beverly's keeping up pretty much to read through the Psalms a few times this year. And tremendous worship you can have just in the Psalms. But Psalms chapter 81. And look with me at verse 10. Psalms chapter 81. If we get to the page, we can go ahead and get a little more reference for what we're talking about. But down in verse 10, the Bible says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. There's another poetry book that includes that great I am again, and that's the Song of Solomon of all books. And he said, I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys. It's used 15 times in Isaiah. It's used 3 times in Jeremiah. And then Ezekiel has a whopping 67 times. If we had another half hour, I'd read you every reference in Ezekiel. 67 times. And if you watch it in Ezekiel, it's especially got this flavor that Israel may know that I am the Lord thy God. That Egypt may know that I am the Lord. That the world may know that I am the Lord. Well, I want to tell you again and emphasize for us here today that we live in a world that does not know that I am is the Lord, God Jehovah, and that I am is my Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. And so again, we want to put an emphasis on that and understand that. And again, just rally in that here today. 3 times in the book of Matthew, and then 7 times, as I mentioned, in the Gospel of John. And then 2 times in Revelation. And boy, I want to spend a little time read them too. Revelation chapter 1. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me. Are we talking about Jesus? Yeah, that's him. That's who John saw again, walking amongst the candlesticks, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Oh, I like that. Now, look again at Isaiah, I think it was. 41, it says, who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, that's Jehovah, I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am He. If you can find a way to do a Bible search and look up the first and the last, the Alpha and Omega, boy, again, it's a remarkable study in the fact that God, again, is the Alpha and Omega. And Jesus Christ said, hey, I am the beginning and the end. I am the Alpha and the Omega. In fact, he closed out his revelation of Jesus Christ with just such a revelation. And so we worship the I am of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 22:16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And so we have a picture here given to us the I Ams of John is a culmination of all the I Ams of Scripture, and it is a revelation that Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, He's not only the resurrection and the life. He said, I am the bread. I am the door. I am the light. I am the good shepherd. I am the true vine. Oh, I missed one. John 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so as we consider those again, consider this verse, I am the resurrection and the life, in John chapter 11. And marvel with me again at the fact that we know the great I am. We get to walk with Him and talk with Him, and this week I hope we get to talk about Him, and that we'll go out of our way to do that. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I don't know what a year holds. As a pastor, I'm always a little skittish, a little nervous. I've done many a funeral. And your life is but a vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes away. Any one of us in this room could have an aneurysm pop in your brain right now. You could slump off and you could be in glory before we even realize that you're gone. That's how quick, that's how frail we are. And boy, again, as we recognize that, it's good to know the resurrection and the life. Not only for ourselves, but for each one in this room to have heard a testimony. And to know, down here at Randall's Crossings this week, a life snuffed out just like that. Could have been any one of us. There's drunk drivers enough out there again that any one of us could be snuffed out. I was driving home from college the other day, and it was at night, 10 o'clock at night, and I have learned again to watch oncoming cars and that center line again. For a long time, when I was taught to drive, they said, don't stare at the lights because that draws you into them. I stare at the lights anymore because it's amazing how many of them are crossing that center line. And when we live in a land full of drunkenness, and now we've legalized marijuana and made a small thing of that, there's all kinds of people out there driving under all kinds of influences. And it's not only the illegals, it's the prescription drugs that are out there as well. And so, boy, I watch that center line, and boy, I was driving home and coming up 14 there between Millport and Watkins. And he got all them curves anyway again. And I looked, and here comes this car. He was at least 3 foot over the center line. And probably talking on his phone. Again, you couldn't see inside. But boy, I got off on the shoulder and way out of the way. But you don't know but what he might have kept right on coming. He swerved back again just before he got to me. But you don't know again. We could be gone in a moment just like that. Are you ready? Do you know the resurrection and the life? And ain't it good to know that we have everlasting life? Let's stand, and as we would dismiss again in an invitation song, let's just rejoice in the fact that He is the resurrection and the life. But not only that, let's personalize a little bit and say, hey, He is my resurrection and life. So as we have an invitation hymn, number 261, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. 261 in our songbook. If you don't know Him, boy, I'd encourage you, don't leave this place, but what you go and talk to Him and get to know Him. Ask Him to be your Savior. Ask Him to be your Lord. Ask Him to come in your heart. He is the resurrection of life. And he that believeth shall never die. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. There is something you have to do. You have to put your faith and trust in Christ. If you've done it, you can rejoice as we would turn our eyes to Jesus. 261. Thank you. troubled, no light in the darkness you see.